Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to Star Talk.
Neil deGrasse Tyson believes that each and every one of us has a geek underbelly, and his goal for decades has been trying to coax it to the surface with his writings, his speeches, and radio and TV shows. But Tyson is flipping the script in the upcoming third season of Star Talk. Fewer astrophysicists, cosmologists, mathematicians, they have their own crowd. Instead, how about people like Ben Stiller, Whoopi Goldberg, even Defense Secretary Ash Carter? Tyson is taking the pop culture route to our inner geek. He'll find the science in you yet. The third season of Star Talk premieres on September 19th on Nat Geo. Neil deGrasse Tyson, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me back.
We will get to the show. We'll get to the book, I promise. Can we talk about Proxima B for a minute before we get there?
Are you distracted by this discovery?
You know, you don't get Neil deGrasse Tyson every day, and I have questions, if you don't mind.
Okay. Bring it on.
Proxima B, the star only 4 light years from Earth, as we heard a couple of weeks ago.
The closest star to the sun.
4 light years. One of the exciting things about this was the possibility of travel there. How practically possible is that? And what are your ideas for a chance that we could get to a planet in that system at 4 light years distance?
Well, if you're on a beam of light, it would take 4 years, but we don't know how to do that yet. So the fastest spaceships we've ever launched, it would take, 50, 60,000 years.
Yeah.
So the answer is no, we're not going there.
<I'm sorry. laughs> That's a downer. But people were excited, though, about the possibility of small, iPhone-sized probes, which I assume can be accelerated to much, much faster speeds.
Yeah, in the current idea, you would propel them with light pressure by lasers from Earth. And it's possible to accelerate to very high speeds and get there in much less time. I think it's more of a demonstration of what might be possible. And I'm skeptical, but somebody's got to be thinking this stuff up.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get in anybody's way who's thinking they want to send iPhone-sized probes. A world where people like that don't exist is a world where you have never left the cave to begin with.
No question about it. And the skepticism is exactly what you need here for honest scientific inquiry. Now, you did Cosmos in front of a huge television audience on Fox. What's different here with Star Talk? Is it a similar kind of conversation you're having, or does it go in other directions?
Star Talk is a different species. It is the first ever talk show on science to air on television. Ever. And we didn't do that with that in mind. We just look back and say, wait a minute, this has never happened before. And we just ask the question, how do you reach people who don't know they like science? Or better yet, people who are sure they don't like science. How do you reach them? What we did was inverted the model. I'm the host, and my guest is hardly ever a scientist. They come from the scaffold of pop culture that we carry with us every day, in politics, in entertainment, in performance arts, in all the rest of these categories. And I have a conversation with them about all the ways science or technology has touched their lives. And at its best, it reveals kind of a geek underbelly that so many people have, but they have no other occasion to reveal it.
And that's what I want to ask you about, because you have talked about that geek underbelly. I think of it more of an outer coating. I mean, underbelly's fine, I suppose, if you're
you
a beautiful
like
celebrity.
Candy bar ads. It's geek nougat on the inside. So if you wear it on the outside, then it's less of a reveal, of course. Our first guest this year is Whoopi Goldberg. The people in the know that she played a recurring character in Star Trek Next Generation.
Right.
But she's also a huge fan of science fiction in general. And part of my conversation with her was about her fantasies about there being a superhero who looks just like her. And she said, a superhero with an ass that's a little fatter than other people's.
That's Whoopi.
Just somebody and with special powers specific to her nature.
I want to see, somebody who saves the Earth, whose behind is a little bit bigger, whose chest is on the floor. But when that, it's a superpowers kick in, ooh. She could slap a whole nation of people. You don't find a lot of humor. It's just like...
And so it's just fun to talk with people and have them just think freely. Now, by the way, how much science is in superheroes? Well, there's a lot to talk about there. There are books, The Science of Superheroes, The Physics of Superheroes. And so there are a lot of places to go when pop culture is the foundation and the science is what you're going to clad onto it. Now, so this show is not, it's not one of these controversial talk shows. I mean, but it's all just an exploration of how and why science matters. Because if that doesn't come across, if we fail at that, and there aren't other ways for this to reach people who don't think about science, I don't know what the future of our country or civilization will bring.
We are in the throes at the same time of an election. You get any politicians on this show or talk about the science of how they lie to us or the,
the science of misrepresenting the truth? I try to get good politicians on each season. So we had Bill Clinton in a conversation with him. This was in the first season. One of the stories I got from him was that on one of the table in the Oval Office where, you know, heads of state sit around and argue, he said he had on loan from NASA a moon rock that sat in the middle of the table. And any time a conversation was not working out or tensions were rising, he would say, pause.
You see that moon rock? It's 3.6 billion years old. Now, we're all just passing through here, and we don't have very much time. So let's just calm down and figure out what the right thing to do is. And it worked every single time.
That rock is 4.5 billion years old, and it's from the moon. And then it was, oh, so he would reset the conversation with this cosmic perspective. And the cosmic perspective is something that I and my colleagues occasionally take for granted, but we live it. And it's the point of view that however important you think you are relative to other people, a cosmic perspective will tell you that you are not different or distinct from others. We are participants in a great unfolding of a cosmic story. And that can have important consequences if you want to invade another country to move a border. If you just look at Earth from space where there are no borders, maybe you'll think differently about it or a little more holistically about the fate of people on Earth.
Star Talk, the book, has a wondrous-looking Neil deGrasse Tyson on the cover surrounded by flying skulls, planets, and space shuttles. And the show Star Talk premieres September 19th on Nat Geo. Neil deGrasse Tyson, what a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.